be a little bit better for you, especially since the way we're doing it, and it enables you to get across, you know, the excitement that you have over this program.
Yeah.
All right, so section one of the executive summary is a description of the opportunity. The opportunity for you is the opportunity for the economy, for the market, is for kind of like there's a gap in radio for country music syndicated radio programming, and how
it benefits everyone involved.
Right, that would be your opportunity to start a business. Does that make sense now?
Okay, sure.
Okay, because everything else is kind of broken down, so I need you just to tell me what the opportunity is here for you and the market.
Well, the opportunity for the radio program comes from the fact that the big radio companies are cutting their staffs down, and therefore cutting off their product. They don't have as much product on the air as they once did. You know, they let their air staff go, and so they don't have live DJs around the clock anymore. And that leaves a great big hole in their programming day, where all they're doing is playing music and station liners, and there's no personality or information or anything really to draw the listener in. So programs like this one give the radio, it's a win-win for the radio station, because they have content on the air that's captivating for the listeners, and it's a win for everyone involved in the project, because for me, I do the radio show, I make money through sponsorships, and everybody who's involved in the program and the creation of the program, you know, they wind up eventually with a paycheck for their creativity and their work. And it also benefits the record companies, because, you know, the program will play music that otherwise radio stations wouldn't officially add to their playlist, so that it can gain momentum and popularity on the request lines, and so it really benefits everybody involved. The opportunity is there for everybody involved, because it's basically placing content where there was none before.
How do the customers benefit?
Customers, listeners?
Listeners.
Listeners benefit because they get to be introduced to new music that they otherwise might not hear. They get information about their favorite artists. They get news about their favorite artists. And they get to hear this great new music. And of course, the show has an interactive website where they can interact with the show and interact with and become part of. Listeners really like to see the inner workings of the music industry, and this show gives them a window to see into the way that the behind the scenes things come together to make the product of music that they like to listen to.
And can you tell me how the radio station benefits if its listener base is increased?
Radio advertising is sold based on station ratings. And when, you know, several times a year, depending on what market they're in, radio stations are rated either once a year or as many as four times a year to find out about their listenership, how many listeners they have. So what happens is, when the radio station's ratings increase, they can then charge more for advertising to their advertisers. Radio generates revenue based on advertising, and that's it. I mean, that's how they make money. And so the more listeners they have on paper through the rating service, like Arbitron, the more listeners that they have, the more they can sell their advertising for. They can increase their revenues that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the goal for the radio station will be to increase its listener base through incorporating your product into their services.
Well, there's a couple ways they can make money off of this product. They can make money that way, increasing listenership. They can also sell sponsorships to local clients for this project. you know, this, you know, Big Country USA is brought to you locally by, you know, John Fred's Cars or whatever. It's an opportunity for radio stations to monetize the show that otherwise was just blank space, if you will, with no content. They can now offer sponsorships to their local clients and run those messages in the commercial breaks of the show and allow their clients. It's a sales opportunity where none existed before.
That was beautiful. All right, section two of the executive summary is an explanation of the business concept. The concept for your business.
Okay, Big Country USA is...
You can repeat things that you've said if you need to.
Okay.
It shows me the importance, more importance of it here if you need to.
Okay.
Okay. Every section of the business plan, some people, it flips through, has headings and subheadings on it and stuff. So it's okay if you repeat information.
Okay.
That is needed.
As long as it's applicable to the question.
To the heading, yes. So an explanation of your business concept.
Okay, well, the project is a syndicated radio program that can run on many stations. It's a project that we make one time every week and can run at many different places. It's a music program that highlights new music, gives information and news about other music, and captivates listeners and builds an audience. I didn't create this concept. It's an old concept. It's been going on since the 70s. There are all kinds of different syndicated programs. Everything from live syndicated programs to pre-recorded. So the concept is that it's a weekly one-hour magazine-style radio show that highlights information about artists. It introduces new music to the listening audience. It is very sellable in terms of advertising and marketing, not only to those who are involved in the project, but also those who utilize the project on their stations.
How does your product or service, how does your service differentiate from other syndicated radio programs?
Our project is different because I believe the quality of the product is better than what's already available out there. It's almost, there's other syndicated radio programs out there, none that are quite like this one. There are some that are very similar, but they've kind of shown to be not very popular. Some shows are more popular than others based on the quality of the presentation. And what makes our show great, what makes this project really, really stand out is the high production value. Everything that goes in, all the little elements that go into the overall product really make it stand out and really make it exciting, and they make it flow. And all the people that are involved in this project are very good at what they do and very talented. And so the creative process, to start with, is superior to others that are out there. And then the production elements and the way that the finished product comes across and sounds is just very powerful, energetic, and just fun to listen to.
How will your show make revenue?
There's a couple ways that the project will generate revenue. First is that just like any radio broadcast, there are commercial breaks. At each commercial break will be 3 minutes in duration. There will be four in the 1 hour long program. So that's 12 minutes of commercial availability to be sold. Now, the network, our project, retains the first 60 seconds of each of those commercial breaks to run a national commercial through an inventory provider like United Stations or somebody who provides national commercials. As we gain more affiliation, more stations sign on to this project, those slots become more and more valuable because there are more and more people listening. to that particular broadcast. And it doesn't matter what time of day each individual station airs it or broadcast, or what day it's broadcast. It's going to be either Saturday or Sunday. But as there's more affiliates, it's a more attractive venue to the sponsors because there's more listenership. That's the first way to generate revenue. The second way, now the remaining 2 minutes of each commercial break belong to the local broadcaster where they can run their commercials and generate revenue on the local level for their station. And that's how, you know, it's a win-win for those guys. They have an opportunity to do promotions or sales or sponsorships in that time allotted. The second way that the project generates revenue is to do what's called in-show placement. And what that is the project has different segments. It has segments, new artists. We play a new artist you've never, a rising star is what the segment is called. And this is an artist that's new on the scene, that's just cut an album, that's just got a record deal, that has never had a hit before, but it's a great record, it's great music, that can be sponsored. Rising Star could be sponsored by Walmart. That generates revenue each time one of those billboards, that's called a billboard mention. And that billboard mention is valuable, of course, depending upon how many affiliates, again, there are. It becomes more and more valuable with each radio station that takes this project on and airs it. There are 5 to 7 segments per show, depending upon the availability of new music or new artists. If there's nothing on a particular week that's really worth using that segment for, then we'll do something else there. But there's in-show placement, and there's traditional placement, which is the commercials, the first commercials, the first 60 seconds in the commercial breaks.
So the national placement is what you call traditional placement?
Traditional placement, that's traditional revenue.
And the second 2 minutes is called what placement?
The second 2 minutes is local availability for the affiliate to put their commercials in.
I want to make sure I get the terminology correct.
Yeah.
And the third is billboard.
Yeah, the in-show placement, and it's a billboard. You know, when you say brought to you by live, when it's a live shot, when you say, hey, this is brought to you by this and that, that's called a billboard. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's in-show placement.
Okay. Thank you. Section 3 is an industry overview. That should probably start at the radio industry or brief on the radio industry and then go into the country industry, okay, pertaining to radio, which is what you're doing. That's what I'm getting. And a little, if you can think of anything else that might come into the syndicated radio industry, so break it down that way.
Okay, well, to start with, radio stations, since back when Bill Clinton was president, he deregulated radio. At one time, radio station ownership was very low. You were only allowed to have a particular number of properties in any given market or town.
Don't spend too much time on that.
Since the deregulation, companies can own up to 40% of a market's broadcast stations. In most cases, big companies like Clear Channel and Cumulus and Citadel and the big broadcasters actually own more because they learn to skew the numbers so that it looks like they only generate 40% of the revenue in a marketplace. Companies like Clear Channel and Cumulus and Citadel, they buy these radio stations and they bring them under their umbrella and they implement computer automation to run the show, because no longer do they have a requirement for the technical side of it like it used to be. Let me back up a little bit. Once upon a time, you had to have a human being operating the transmitter. Now computers can do that.
Analog.
Yeah. Now computers can operate the transmitters and keep track of what they're doing and alert somebody if they're not operating properly. So that's the FCC is satisfied that's okay. Live radio talent has been taken over by computers and voice tracking. And in some cases, just playing music and radio station IDs and no real content of any kind. And so what's happening is they're bringing 4 or 5 stations in a market under one roof and running it effectively with one staff instead of five staffs that it used to have. So basically the radio format, radio stations in general, have become very dry when it comes to creativity, when it comes to content, compelling content, and reasons for listeners to stick around. That's probably largely why the iPod has become so popular, because they can listen to what they want, their favorite songs, and not have to sit through the stuff they don't want to listen to in the commercials. There's nothing really in the radio station to draw them to listen anymore. And so that's really kind of the condition of radio. I mean, right, there's, you know, you also have subscription based services, and by the way, this project could also be picked up by a satellite provider and operated on a satellite provider. Okay, so there are just radio stations today are run by a skeleton crew to save money. It's really become all about how little we can pay to keep, you know, to keep the station on the air. And so there's not a lot of content there. And so shows like this one provide that content to keep that radio station's momentum moving a little bit better. There, like I said, there are weekday programs that come out every day that are syndicated. There are weekend programs that come out that are syndicated. There are live syndicated shows that run at certain times. There's several different kinds of syndicated programs. This one basically gives the radio station 1 or even 2 hours a week. We'll get to that. Okay.
Yeah, it's on here. We'll get to that.
Okay.
I need a definition for voice tracking.
Voice tracking is when a voice talent records what we would call talk breaks that would normally be placed between songs. When you listen to the radio and you hear a disc jockey talking between songs, now that's once upon a time that used to be done live and on the fly. Now it's done ahead of time into a computer, and the computer places that talking in the correct places in the programming schedule so that it sounds like it's a live real person in real time doing a radio show, but really it's not. It's all computer controlled.
And the listener doesn't know that.
And the listener, well, you can only get to be so accurate with voice tracks. You can't give times. You can't give current temperatures. There's a lot of things you can't do with voice tracking. You can't talk about traffic accidents or breaking news. I mean, and so those are the limitations of voice tracking. But it's from radio management standpoint, it's close enough to give the illusion that there are real people working on the air. Although, in recent years, listeners have become aware that that's what's going on.
Because they're not answering the phone calls.
Because they don't answer the phones, because mistakes happen, computers crash, things don't run like they're supposed to. And quite frankly, you know, when somebody has canned something like that, when somebody has pre-recorded something like that 3 days in advance, it kind of shows, because there's a lot of things, because it does lack the luster of being right now. You know, there's an accident at this intersection or whatever. Voice tracking is just a very cheap way to have a disc jockey on the air.
Okay. Give me a brief overview of the country radio. It's, of course, not any different. But is there anything that you have to add that's specific to the country industry?
Country radio is not really any different from any other kind of music-intensive format. It's just a different music, but it all really, right, under the skin, just kind of operates the same way.
Huge paragraph there. All right, what is your target market? That'd be radio stations going about. How many different radio stations are there? You're only going to be able to go on one radio, one country versus every market. How many markets are there? What's the, I need to know what the potential is.
Okay.
But
there are
target market.
Okay. Target market. I'll give you the demographic of who the listener should be first, and then I'll go into why and how. The target listener is female 18 to 34 year old, because historically, that's the demographic that these radios, this format, the hot country formatted radio stations, cater to. Now, obviously, we want everyone to listen, but you know, research has shown that the female 18 to 34 year old woman is who has control of the money in the marketplace, and so that's what advertisers, that's the demographic that advertisers are most likely to advertise with, because they want that money, that revenue. Radio stations, this project will be available in any market in the U.S. and even beyond. There are 260-ish, it changes annually, but there are 260 U.S. rated markets, which means they're rated by Arbitron Rating Service, which is how stations get their ratings. There are hundreds more that are so small, they're dots on the map that are unrated. Those markets are not really important for this project. Of course, we'd like to have as many affiliates as possible, but the way that we generate revenue is very much based the same way that other stations, that the radio stations generate revenue, and it's in terms of how many people are listening. For example, if you're in a market of 1 million people, your advertising is going to be worth a whole lot more than a town of 500 people. So the target market, the target radio station, is a young country or hot country format, which is basically a top 40 format that plays country music instead of pop music. Formatically, everything else is very similar. The project is exclusive to one station per market. So if there are two country stations that have a similar format, only one of those two could feasibly air the program. If when one signs up, it takes it out of that market.
Yeah, first come, first serve.
For everybody else.
Yeah, first come, first serve, right?
Right.
How long is that thing going to record?
Till the cows come home.
Okay. Section 5 of the executive summary is the competitive advantage that you hope to achieve in that market.
Wow, that's a pretty broad, it's a pretty broad category.
Your competitive advantage? Well, your market is the hot top 40 countries.
That's right.
So you want to list your competitive advantage. The advantage that you have over your competitors.
Well, you know, the advantages that this project has over competitors is that the other programs that are similar in nature to this one, going back to the production, the creativity, the polished sound, the completeness of it, nobody else has that. Not in a similar program. Listening to other programs that are similar, they're lackluster. And this is
keep talking.
Yeah, this is a project that focuses on heavy production value, meaning, you know, a lot of background sounds, a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement on the air, where a lot of the other syndicated projects, they have a very droning sound between the songs, and they're very safe in terms of, you know, they don't speak too loudly or too quickly, or they don't they don't interject any personality into them. They're very generic and straight to the point, where this program is creative. It's exciting. The elements are polished, and the general feel of the program is very fun.
All right, so it's more upbeat.
It's more upbeat. It's more current. More current, more modern.
Okay. It's got competitive advantage. Let's see, 748. Need to list a little bit more specifically for me what your product is. 748 competitive advantage. Our competitive advantage lies in our ability to consistently deliver our brand promise of flavorful, fresh, fast, fun, friendly through every customer touch point. We will develop standard kitchen and front end operations, which will subsequently lower costs and enable us to develop a franchise model. So you can see there's also example, innovation, and it's 442. Because even though you talk a lot.
I'm going to pause. Products or services that have been largely overlooked.
Nothing. It's okay. Base innovative efforts on your experience. You're doing pretty good. Be sure that there is a market for the product or service that you are hoping to create. You've already established that. Pursue innovation that customers will perceive as adding value to their lives. You kind of did that. Focus on new ideas that will lead to more than one product or service. Is there any expansion? Are you recording?
Yeah.
Is there any expansion? What are the expansions for the product?
Well, there are expansion possibilities.
I know there's country expansion. Well, country as in Europe, Canada.
Geographic expansion. As far as, granted, a weekly one-hour radio program only has so far it can go before it's hit the ceiling. There is expansion, though. It could become a two-hour program or a four-hour program as popularity dictates. It can also become a satellite-delivered live program on a weekend evening. It doesn't have to stay a weekly one-hour program if there's more demand to bring it to something new.
Okay.
And in fact, it probably, the idea here is that in the long run, after it's become well established for what it is, will become a larger project and will be able to encompass more of a broadcast day of the station.
So essentially, I mean, you would end up taking up a whole shift.
Eventually, it would be a full-blown, radio program that would be live on the air, that there would be phone lines that listeners could call into and get on the air and that sort of thing. Absolutely.
Your competitive advantage and innovation. It has a section in here to raise sufficient capital and launch the new product or service. So is there anywhere in here that in your service that you would need to find money in order to launch portions of your project? And if so, how would you find that money? Wait. Think about it. Don't answer it yet. It's in here, so I don't want you to answer it yet. All right, so let's move on. We're
okay,
good.
Sure.
We're going to go to section 6 of the executive summary, the economics of the opportunity.
Okay.
Now, I'm glad you know what economics means. So you got micro and macro. Micro includes, micro is your industry. Your industry is the syndicated radio programs, your in-depth competitors are your hot and heavy competitors. You know, you got, let's say there's 5 country radio syndicated programs, one really is only your real competitor. You know, but
right.
Okay. And then you have, just did it. I'm doing it in 2 books, so I don't know. What did I say the word was? Economics of the opportunity. Your environment, and then it goes out a little bit more, and then you have a more global thing where if there's any politics in it, or if there's any laws or regulations that may affect you at this time in a negative manner, which I don't think there are, but if there's even a possibility of one, it needs to be listed. See, in this business plan, you not only list the good, you also list the bad.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Because it's a business plan. You have to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
And the only way you can be prepared for it is to see your enemy coming.
Yeah.
Okay. So while you're talking on that, I'll look and see if there's anything else that I need to see as far as economics of the opportunity is.
So when we're talking about economics, what you want me to talk about right now is generating revenue.
Pause it for a second.
Sure.
The economy's economics of the opportunity.
Okay, well, economics of the opportunity.
It's hard, isn't it?
So currently, we don't have a solid agreement with any specific vendor that would provide the inventory or the commercial, the advertisements to go in the show to generate the revenue. There are several, one of which is interested, but he's the only one that we've talked to. And he is with Radio Imaging Works, and what his position would be is to get the commercials that would air in our commercial breaks.
Is that the first 60-minute commercial, the national
commercial? That's the first 60 seconds.
He's liable.
Would provide that inventory. It could be one 60-second commercial. It could be two 30-second commercials. It could be two 50. Any way that they want to break it up, but it equals 60 seconds. The network we'll refer to in the future is the company who provides that inventory, provides those commercials to play, and then subsequently, once they play, they're responsible for billing whoever the client is and then paying our project for using that on the air. So they're the middleman that does the advertising sales, and then they are also the people that pay us because we ran those advertisements. There's any number of different national clearinghouses that handle that. There's Dial Global, there's United Stations, there's Radio Imaging Works, there's TM Century. There's a lot of these companies, and that's what they do, is they specialize in having inventory to pass on for different projects like this, whether it's a syndicated radio program or whether they're doing barter for some other service for the radio station. For example, the radio station wants to give away a big ticket item as a prize. They can get that item on barter from these same companies by agreeing to run a certain number of their commercial inventory pieces in a certain time frame to pay for it. So they're trading, and basically that's how this show generates revenue, is by running those commercials. And then the radio station, the affiliate, would then have to sign a contract. The program is free for them to run. It doesn't cost them any money to put it on their air. The way that the contract goes, however, they have to agree to and sign a monthly affidavit that they did run the show in its entirety, the way it was produced, including all of the commercial inventory that was placed in it, and the in-program messages as well. Basically, they sign a legal affidavit. They sign a contract that they'll play it exactly as it comes, and then they sign an affidavit each month that they actually did play the program, and it did air as scheduled, and it did air as agreed.
What about the last 2 minutes of the commercial segment?
The last 2 minutes of the commercial breaks belong to the local radio station. They can do with them what they want to do with them.
So they run the program for free, and then they get commercial space in there that they get money?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And your company won't receive any residuals off that?
No. They get to sell their own local commercials to generate revenue for their business. It's their incentive to keep the project on the air. We generate the excitement and the popularity. We run our commercials so we get paid, and then we give them availability to run their commercials so they can get paid and to keep them as happy customers, so to speak.
Okay. I do need to backpedal here. You had originally mentioned in the segment one of the executive summary that your target market being females 18 to 35 or 24?
34.
Okay. And you said that there have been studies on it and whatever. I need you to detail that. Do you know the name of the study? Do you know the year of the study or where I can go get the information?
You know what? I don't specifically know who did the research on that. Other than, I mean, it's statistics from somewhere.
Do you know the name of the statistic?
No, it's just marketing demographics. I don't know where it comes from.
Okay.
It's just, in my entire broadcast career, that's been pounded into my head. I don't care who listens as long as we have female 1834.
Okay. All right. So it's just a generic consensus that if you have that market, it's like a golden ticket.
It is, because that's who the advertisers want to advertise with, because they, you know, it's believed that, you know, that's who controls the lion's share of the country's revenue is those females actually there's several different demographics. It really depends upon, you know, there's 25 to 54, there's 18 to 34, there's 25 plus, and each
has. So what is that target market more specific to, the hot?
The format that this project is targeted towards targets 1834.
Okay, so I can use that. Thank you. All right, so we are down to section 7 of the executive summary, which is the management team. So you're going to want to start with yourself, obviously.
Okay.
Your rank, your position, your credentials.
Okay.
And briefly what you would do for the company, and then go down to everybody else who's going, would be next, probably. Whoever the other, Amy Delaney, who I don't know who she is, whoever it was.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she's going to be involved too, or whoever.
Okay.
The person who's doing your web.
Mm-hmm. So everybody in their position, their responsibilities.
And then you're going to list probably... Well, would you? I don't know if you would list. Because I don't really think I would be listed in there, even though I'm your office manager. On your billing. You can link me out of it. Well, we can have it later if they need it. I have to tinkle. What do you call him? The guy who's doing the commercials for you. What's his title? Do you call him by company?
The commercials or the imaging? Voiceovers.
Voiceover is Steve Woods.
Yeah.
No, I'm referring to the guy
who... That's going to provide the inventory?
He's not your management team.
No.
Okay. Just so we're clear. So go ahead and hit record and start talking.
All right. Well, I guess the project starts with me. And my title is, I have two titles. I'm the executive producer and I am the show host. As the executive producer, the creative process begins with me. I have the vision. It's my vision of what this project needs to be when it's completed.
And I need to know your name, your title, your experience that you're bringing in.
Okay.
You've got 15 years, you got this much radio, disc jockey, this many businesses, voiceover imaging, and then tell me what you're going to do for the show.
Okay, all right.
That's what I need.
Okay. My name?
I know your name.
Okay, well, then I'll start again with, I'm the executive producer and the show host. Both of those positions, I've kind of been groomed for over the years. With the experience in broadcast radio that I've had, I've worked with syndicators, I've worked in the format, I've worked on the air, I've put together a live show every day for, you know, close to two decades now. Or in some way along those 20 years, been involved with programming of radio broadcasting. As a country radio personality, I earned Arbitron's highest ratings ever recorded for 2 years.
Awesome.
And that was achieved based on, you know, creativity and listenership. I mean, it all came down to who was listening. I have programmed radio stations. You know, I've dealt with record companies before, which is something I have to do in this project as well. I've extensively interviewed artists, which again is something that's helpful in this project as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening. That's it. That's good. Keep going. Go to the next person.
Okay. Steve Wood is the voice, and this probably is a good place for me to say that we have a very small staff, but we have everyone who's necessary, and each of the people involved are freelance independent contractors, so we don't have any liability to these people, you know, for unemployment, for wages, for salary. We have an agreed upon, you know, amount that once the show goes to a certain point, we have an agreed on, we'll negotiate mm-hmm. what those rates are.
It's economics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Steve Woods.
So each of those people will be compensated based on negotiations at that point. Steve Wood is an industry veteran voiceover talent. He has voiced the the ACM Awards, the American Country Awards program on television. He's extremely well known in the country broadcast industry, and his name being associated with this project really lends a great deal of credibility to the project. As several people in the project, their names lend credibility as well. They're all very, very well known industry veterans at what they do. Neil Haslop is the show writer. He's the person who is responsible for creating a great deal of the content. New music information, news and information from Nashville, and even lining up artist interviews and getting all those things, you know, lined up. His experience, he writes for GACTV, a country video television network. He writes for CMT, Country Music Television, cable network. He writes for Bob Kingsley and the American Country Countdown, which is the first and largest country countdown radio program, which was created by Casey Kasem. He writes for that. He also has his own website that he writes country news for listeners, for general interest. He's providing industry news, industry information, not only for our program, but also for an interactive section on our website where our listeners can come by and read that information. So on the air, we'll give artist information and then promote our website. To find out more, visit our website, and then they can find the artist information and more information on our page, and that's provided by Mr. Haslop.
Beautiful. Next.
Next, our web designer is April Wilson. She is a freelance web designer, but she also is responsible for creating most of the websites that Next Media Radio Broadcasting have for their radio stations. So she's extremely experienced in broadcast interactive websites. Her design skills just really, really at a great level of creativity, and again, they give credibility to the project as well.
Is there anybody else?
Let's see. April, Neil, Steve, me, Jim Vest.
What's he going to do? What's his title and what is he going to do?
Jim Vest is...
Salad?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Jim Vest, what is he doing?
Jim Vest is the director of engineering. He is responsible for making sure that equipment is properly functioning, connected right, the sonic dynamics of the audio is right, and everything's calibrated in the studio. Jim has an extensive background in broadcast engineering and is currently...
How many years?
Probably 25 to 30 years of experience.
He owns his own business? What business is that?
He is a half partner in Dillicast Broadcast Services, and he and his partner currently engineer several TV stations across the country as contract engineers. A newcomer to the bill is a lady. Her name is Audra Cassino. And Audra is actually an employee of one of my voiceover clients. And she's a newcomer to the voiceover world, but has an exemplary, you know, voice that will really break up the double male voicing on the program and add a bit more depth and dimension to the program. And it will also, her voice will also be appealing to that female target demographic we talked about earlier.
What's her title?
She's a voiceover talent.
Okay, and how many years experience?
She has worked in radio for probably 10 to 12 years.
Okay, all right.
And currently is a midday radio personality and production director for KVRP-FM in Haskell, Texas.
All right, so your main base talent, which would be you, Woods, what's her name, April?
April Wilson.
You, Woods, the guy who's providing your stuff?
Hayslop
and April. What do you think is your average combined years of experience?
Oh, my.
I know. Tally it up.
It's easily over a century.
Well, how much do you have on your back?
I'm 20 years myself.
Okay. What is Woods' average?
Woods probably 25 to 30 years.
Okay, and Hayslop?
He's probably in for 35 years.
All right, and April is 10 to 12. I'll add it up later. Thank you very much. Let's go on to section 7 of this sucker. We're 8 and we're done. What time is it?
Do I need to put a wireless mic on you? It's quarter after 9.
Okay, so we got a couple more minutes. The amount, this may not apply at this time, the amount and purpose of the money being requested if you are seeking financing. So if you pitch this to anybody.
What's the reason?
For any reason, they need to know, you know, what's your reason? What are you going to buy for? Because at this point, then I have to create a budget for that money.
Okay.
Let's say you were asking for $100,000.
Okay.
And then I would have to provide a budget later on, okay? But right now, the amount and purpose of the money being requested, the offering, it's called, if you are seeking financing.
If I were to seek financing at this point, the number that I would most likely go with is around $30,000. And that $30,000 would cover things like, most importantly, marketing. Marketing materials would be purchased.
How do you plan on marketing?
Okay. So the first thing is there would have to be direct mailing to the radio stations. And when you mail marketing pieces to the radio stations, it would include demos of what the show sounds like. It would include printed materials. It would include background information on the people that are involved. There would be advertising on industry websites and in industry publications. Money would be spent for graphics design for those print and web ads. There would be equipment upgrades for the studio that are necessary to produce something like this. it. Okay, well, the first piece would be the mixing console, which is a unit made by a company called Presonus. It's a digital and analog hybrid mixing console, which allows me to not only record analog information into the computer, but then once it's in there, use the same device to produce and mix that audio within the computer.
What's the benefit?
The benefit is a huge amount of time savings, a guaranteed consistent audio quality.
Good job.
Yeah. And it also would reduce the amount of off-board processing needed to create the correct dynamic sound.
All right, now continue.
The second item that would be upgraded would be the computer system in the studio, which would move from a PC environment to a Mac environment.
Oh yeah.
That's
about how much was the other piece of equipment?
It was $3,000 for the mixing console.
Okay, how much do you think the computer system upgrade would be?
The computer system would probably be about $5,000 by the time you add the software that you would need.
And what's the benefit to that?
The benefit to that is the Macintosh computer is really designed as a multimedia computer. It has its strengths lie in the way that it processes audio, its reliability, its speed, and make sure that's not a text for me. It's really the Macintosh computer is a professional machine. It's designed to carry the kind of load that this project would put on a machine. Macs are generally because this program, a lot of it originates on the web. It's really important that viruses be taken into consideration, and Macintosh computers generally don't get viruses like Windows computers do.
So that's a threat right now?
That's a threat. Information and materials that come off of the internet. Anytime you have a machine that connects to the internet, there's threats of hacking and viruses and this sort of thing. Macintosh is pretty much impervious to that sort of attack. So
right now you have a server-based system, an off-site server-based system that you rent.
I do.
So how would the Mac defer that?
That server is leased from a company called Ebound Host, and they actually do not run a Windows environment on those servers. Those are Linux-based servers, and they, again, are impervious to most threats of hacking and viruses injections. Having said that, it does happen. Those servers do get hacked, and those servers do get malicious injections of code put in that create problems. Part of the function of the company that I lease that server from is that they stay up on security measures and they catch those problems before they become problems for the users.
Okay.
They run on-site backups every 24 hours so that if something goes down with the server, another one's put in place and there's minimal downtime.
So you said three for the mixer? Five for the Mac?
Five for the Mac and software that would go with it.
That would be a few $1,000.
Yeah, because we would have to use Pro Tools, and that's the industry standard editing software, or Avid.
How much is Pro Tools?
Pro Tools is by itself; it's probably $2,000.
Are there any sound bases or databases that you need, or official jingle or anything that you might need that would add to that list of things to do if you have money?
Absolutely, there's an ongoing need for new multimedia pieces.
Well, please define multimedia.
Multimedia is sound. It can be a jingle. It can be sound effects. It can be, the voiceover guy. The voiceovers that he does have to be rotated out frequently, so that the listener doesn't hear the same thing over and over and over again. and get tired of it or get burned on it. Those things all have a shelf life. And you want to replace them before they become stale because they take away from the momentum of the program.
Okay.
If the listener knows what's going to happen next, exactly what's going to be said, it takes away from the excitement of the program.
Okay, so...
currently, you know, we have the jingle. We have, you know, we have... And the jingle is extremely important because it's a larger-than-life identifier of the project. It brings a larger-than-life feel to the presentation.
Included in your budget?
It's mostly marketing, some equipment upgrades.
How do you break down the cost and expense of marketing? You would have to market that online. Would you market that? Where would you market that online?
There are several industry websites and publications that I would use. All Access Music Group, which is owned by Joel Denver.
How much is theirs?
Their cost is for a banner ad on their site is about $3,500 a month.
Okay, and what other sites? How much?
Country Air Check does a weekly mailer, a bi-weekly mailer, twice a week mailer, to program directors of country radio stations. Mm-hmm. And they sell advertising space within those emailers. I don't know the cost of that, mm-hmm. but if I had to venture a guess, based on my knowledge of these things, I would say that it probably would cost $500 to $750 each time it appears in one of these mailers.
Which is bi-weekly.
Which is twice a week.
Twice a week, okay. And earlier you mentioned something about flyers and stuff like that. What do you think the cost of printing up flyers for that would be each time you would print them up, and how often would you print them up?
Well, obviously, when you the more you buy, the more of a discount you get, but I use a company called Vistaprint, who does very professional printing for oversized postcards and other miscellaneous types of printed marketing materials, and the general cost for postcards is... And there would have to be thousands of these made because they'd have to be sent to Ray. You know, I would have to make a minimum of 5,000 of these. Mm-hmm. Then there's the postage that goes to the mailing piece.
That's right.
Then there's a purchase database for the radio station that would have to go to.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay. And how much is that?
It's probably substantial. It's probably, you know, $2,500.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay. All right. So when you do a budget, you can't leave none of that out. Otherwise, you have to foot the bill, because once you're already halfway in that project with that other person's money, you say, oh, shit, I forgot to mention the $2,500 for this.
Now, if we're talking about investors, the reality of it is that the people that are doing the work for me need to get paid, too.
And while
they're willing to wait and see,
right now they're pro bono.
Because right now they're doing it just because they think that. Well, and that's something else too, is that the people that are working on this project are doing this because, you know, they completely believe that this product is a winner. These are people with years and years and years of experience, and they are happy to be involved with this because they realize there is a payout later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have another question. All right, so the mailers would be for what? Reminders to the station? Say, hey, I'm here, don't forget us kind of thing? What is it for?
It's basically junk mail, you know, to be honest. You know, it's a color-printed postcard that has the show logo on it.
What is their purpose?
To create awareness of the program.
Very good.
And how it can be beneficial to the station.
And is there any added benefit to doing that versus um, dude that has $2,500 a month banners.
All Access?
Joel Denver. Okay. All Access. I knew it started with an A. I'm thinking Arbitron. Okay.
Yeah.
All Access and the other thing. What advantage does the paper product have over the digital? Or the disadvantage
over I don't know that one's any better than the other. You know, the advantage of the digital advertisements is that it's virtually guaranteed that the people that I need to be in front of will see it, because they're in places where those people go to get information on the industry. The paper mailers, the postal mailers, may wind up on the desk of the program director or anywhere else, but it's just one more, it's logo placement. It's you know, the more these people see a logo, the more the prospective affiliate sees a logo, the more they wonder how it could benefit them.
Right.
And they're willing to take a look at it to see exactly, you know, and the more persistence they see, the more often they see that logo, the more they feel like it's something they need to look at.
Because it's obviously bigger than they thought it was initially.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's the difference between some kid sending out a demo in an email once and seeing in industry real publications that, okay, this is a serious project, this is a serious thing, this isn't something that somebody cooked up.
Yeah, wave out the little ones. All right, so is there anything else that you may not have mentioned that you would need to budget for or seek funding for? A travel, a CRS.
You know, there are, you know, the big industry convention happens every February, and it is you know, it's entry fee just to get in to the building is $500. At that event, they pass out what they call goodie bags to everyone who attends. And it may be in the form of a little vinyl messenger bag that has all kinds of promotional gimmickry inside, like printed material promoting products and services in the industry.
How much does it cost to put Big Country USA items into that goodie bag?
I'm waiting for the answer to that, actually.
I can get it from you later. All right, so there's promotional items that you have to have printed up, such as lanyards at, you know, $100. For 50?
No, it was for 100. I got 100.
For 100?
There's 100 lanyards.
Well, that's good. Unfortunately, your demos had to go straight digital. So to seek funding for, you know, going there every year. But when you seek funding, you would probably only receive the funding once.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you have to budget that and figure out how long you need to save it for.
Right. So even if you were to use that for 1 year's CRS convention in Tennessee and Nashville, that's only going to give you 1 year to do that. Now, also note that if you seek funding from anybody who's willing to buy into your product for whatever reason, they usually not only get their money back, but they end up owning part of your business.
Mm-hmm.
So they would own a certain percentage of your business or a percentage of your revenue.
They'd be entitled to a percentage of the profits. That's right.
Right. So just keep that in mind before you actually choose to do that, because you don't know what kind of money this is going to generate.
Well,
because again, you said that
off the record.
Is there anything else that you think that you might need to seek funding for, or, you know?
You know, operationally, my part in this, I mean, obviously I have to make a living at this. I have to draw a paycheck from this. This is, you know, a career. This project is going to become a job, or it is a job. So clearly, everybody involved needs to draw compensation from it. In the beginning, as affiliates build and revenues come in, those people still need to be paid. So a lot of the funding would go to pay those people their monthly retainer fees for doing what they do.
All right, so I can add it up with a calculator later. What is Steve Wood's rate?
I would venture to say $300 a month.
What is your rate? Because you're producing.
I need to make a living off of it. I need to make.
Well, okay, give me your yearly figure. And I'll figure that out later, because what I'm going to do is you would ask for a yearly amount for that, so you would have the funds already in the bank to allocate out and draw interest off of. You understand? So you would seek that funding in a yearly one-time lump sum to get you guys through the first year. So give me your salary, give me Wood's salary, give me Haycliffe Lip, whatever salary, give me April's salary, vest, you know, whatever that may be. I know he's contract.
Yeah, some
as
people
needed, but
some people
need
are on
to,
an as needed basis.
But
right.
You need to venture in. Okay, what do you need to put away on a monthly basis for maintenance? You know, because what happens if something were to go down and you would have to replace it and have him fix it? So give me your salary.
I'm thinking my first year would be like 40.
Okay, and give me Woods monthly was 300.
Yeah.
Hayslip.
He's probably going to want $300 a month too.
April.
As needed. I mean, maybe $100 a month.
Are you paying her individual by voiceover?
April's a web designer.
I'm sorry. And the other girl.
You know, at the moment, she's doing it for the recognition of being on the card.
But you know you need to pay her. Are you paying her per voiceover?
I'd probably pay her piecemeal work, yeah. I'd probably give her $50 a session.
$50 at 30 seconds?
No, a session would be like maybe a page of...
2 or 3 minutes worth?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and... You already said April. Is there anybody else? Vest? How much do you think in maintenance would be enough to cushion you?
Actually, with the new equipment, there wouldn't be much maintenance.
I'd still say put back a couple hundred dollars a month, $2,400 for the year.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Just in case. And at this point in time, you have no need for extra building or rental office space services?
No.
Good. That it?
If
you think of anything else, just let me know. Not a problem. You're done.